Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I want to talk to you today about jumping in. Everybody shout, jump in.
Jump in.
You can't go, please stop. You can't go into this next level of your life but not jumping in, and you can't just kind of weasel your way out of it. And people and fear will try to keep you back. People on the sidelines will keep you back. And the night before this happened, I actually had told Nicole, hey, I want to jump off that bridge tomorrow. And she's like, no, don't do that. And I said, no, I want everybody to do it. Let's do it together. She said, no. So she Googled like 27,000 reasons why, things that could happen to you. And she's like, does that not prove it to you? And I'm like, you can tell me everything you want. I'm jumping off the bridge. And then in the middle of the night, I kind of woke up and thought, wow, you know, I was hearing all the things that she Googled. And I was like, you know what? Forget that. People jump off bridges all the time. Come on, somebody. It makes perfect sense. Then the next day when I got up there to jump off the bridge, the only person that was going to do it was me and my daughter-in-law. And so everybody else was just kind of standing by the sidelines. And Nicole eventually realized, wow, this is going to be some great TV. And she'll do anything for ratings. Come on, somebody. So she did jump. Give it up for Pastor Nicole for jumping. But when they tied my feet with like this really sophisticated stuff, which was a bath towel and some zip ties, I realized, wow, it seems very unsophisticated. Come on, somebody help me right now. Like, and then when I jumped, I knew immediately that I wasn't going to go up there and do what most people do, which is like, well, I don't know. And then somebody have to talk me into it or I get upset about it. I just jumped. And part of the reason why I did that is because I didn't want my daughter-in-law upset. I wanted her to just jump. At the end, when it was all said and done, they said, how did you just jump? You ready for this? I said, I just jumped. You just jumped. So many times in life, the enemy gives you the paralysis of fear. Fear meaning false evidence appearing real. At the end of this thing that God has for you, there's a victorious, heroic, cool video. There's a ministry. There's buildings. There's opportunities. It's all about that first step. You got to step off into the unknown so you can experience the unknown. If you want to be a water walker, if you want to be a victorious champion, like David, you got to pick up that first rock and you got to throw it in the face of the enemy, in the face of pressure, in the face of fear, and say, go ahead and jump. Somebody shout, go ahead and jump. And of course, there's a million reasons why you shouldn't jump, and a bunch of people on the sidelines telling you not to jump, and this is unsafe to jump. But I'm telling you, it felt good to jump. As soon as I jumped, it felt great. And if you could hear it, you hear me going, and I realized, wow, okay, people now are going to know for sure that I'm spirit-filled. I did not cuss, but I did pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, help me. Because so many times, you don't get the reward without the risk. You don't get the, you can't, I want to feel the exhilaration. I want to feel what it felt like. And as soon as I did it, I actually wanted to do it again. Felt so good. I wanted to do it again. Because jumpers jump. Water walkers walk. Other people sit by the sidelines of life and think, wish I had a good marriage. Wish I had a victorious breakthrough. Wish, wish, wish. And we need less wishbone and more backbone to realize that there's a spirit of faith and there's a spirit of fear. Who are you going to listen to? The spirit of fear? No. Because God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So when you fill yourself full of positive thoughts, when you fill yourself full of visitation with God, when you're around this mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who created you to do great things, you begin to think you can do great things. But if you hang around the enemy of your soul, the enemy, he comes to steal your dreams, kill your hopes, and destroy your future opportunities. I'm just here to tell you today that so many of you are living beneath your full benefits. You're not really doing the thing that God wanted you to do because you're shrinking back instead of pushing forward. Don't allow a Google search. Don't allow the enemy. Don't allow a diagnosis from a doctor. Don't allow a lack of money to keep you from jumping. Jump. Just jump. I'm so proud there's a woman here in the back today at this weekend service, and somebody DM'd me or like mentioned me, I think on Instagram is what it was, today. And she's back here right now in a wheelchair in the back, in the very back. It's a motorized wheelchair, and she has a disease, a crippling disease that they said that she probably will never walk again. And she had her friend video, and I might show it at one of the services this weekend. She's in this video, right? She's in this motorized wheelchair. And she says, my pastor, she's making an announcement, told me that you could lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. And it didn't have to be him. It could just be me. So she takes her hand, she lays on her legs in the name of Jesus, and she's got a walker, a brace walker thing. You know, one of these deals. I guess it's called a walker, right? And so it's there. And she said, it's not fancy, but I've been working on this all week. And I haven't done anything like this in 3 years. And she forces herself up and she grabs it and she takes about 2 steps. Well, then I walked in a while ago to the auditorium and I seen her back there in the back. And I went by and I said, are you the girl that did that? She said, yeah, that was me. I hadn't done it for 3 years. And I can see something in her eyes. I can see that this woman is a jumper. I can see that this woman is a walker. Somebody ought to help me. And I said, you keep resisting that and you keep moving forward. Come on, somebody, because this is her banner year. And in 2020, she will see with her own eyes the miraculous power of God hit her. And I believe that I receive it. And she's just going to say, how'd you get out? I just jumped. How'd you get out? I just walked. I walk out of hell. I walk out of trouble because I don't shrink back. I have created a jump. Somebody ought to give him praise today. I'll give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. Come on, don't be kind of sick by the sidelines on this. Get on this. Now I want to pause and say that some people in the building just made me mad. Just to be honest, if you're a jumper, you're also a certain personality, choleric. He just gets aggravated and calls out aggravation. Here's what I don't like. This woman who's back there, who I asked her, sweetie, why do you sit all the way back here? She said, because I don't have time to get from here all the way to there when call a ride or share a ride, a handicapped bus comes to get me. I don't have time to do that. So I haven't figured out yet how I'm going to fix that problem. But what I am feeling and what I want you to feel is the weight of having your feet tied, strapped to a chair, thinking that you can't come down here tonight because you've got to wait on Missouri rideshare program. Well, first of all, God could give her her own van with her own driver with a suit on and a hat. Come on, somebody. It says, we don't leave. Come on, somebody ought to help me. I know you don't believe that, but I jump off bridges. I build buildings. I start churches. I believe that the same God that got water out of a rock still knows how to do it. Woo! So, while I was aggravated, here's what I want from you. Here's what I need from you. I will tell you what I need from you. I need you to respond like you care that she's in a wheelchair and you're not. I need you to praise God with your legs that you've got, that she would give God praise if she could, but she can't. But we, for so long, have taken it for granted that we got all this movement that we don't realize how good God is, and all the while you keep griping and remaining and complaining because you don't have the house in Tahiti yet, or your car doesn't have a remote control start, or whatever it is that you're complaining about. I'm sure it's champagne problems. Your Uber was late, your internet's slow. You don't have any problems. So this is the weekend that I want you to stir yourself up and say, I'm going to shout for the people that can't shout. I'm going to see for the people that can't see. I'm going to hear for the people that can't hear. I'm going to dance for the people that can't dance, because I'm going to be touched with the power and the presence of God and give that woman hope. I promise you, you will shout when she walks across this stage. And I promise you, she will. That's better. I like that better. Shout. Makes me want to shout. Put my hands up and shout. Who wrote that song? Isley Brothers. You know where Isley goes to church? Right here. Sits right there. Getting mailbox money off. I guarantee he likes the song. Mark 10. Verse 46. When Jesus and his disciples passed through Jericho, there was a large crowd that joined them. Upon leaving the village, they met a blind beggar. Notice he's blind and a beggar. Some of you are blind tonight. Sitting on the side. Some of you are sitting on the sidelines today watching other people win. Watching other people get married. Watching other people have breakthroughs. And you're on the sidelines. Blind, begging. Sitting there on the side of the road. He sat there. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout. He began to shout. Everybody shout. He began to shout. Shout again. He began to
shout.
He didn't just say, "Hey, Jesus." If it wouldn't, hey, he said, "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me. Now, in my affliction, heal me." And those in the crowd did Google searches and said, "This is unwise to do. Don't do this. You're losing your dignity. You cannot keep your dignity and maintain his deity." And that's why I got so buck wild a minute ago, because I don't care what you think about me. All I want to do is put my praise on display so maybe God will come and manifest himself in a building and heal someone. So they scolded him, making much disturbance. I love that. They're making much disturbance. He kept shouting. He made much disturbance. I'm here to tell you so you guys know where we're at. I like to make disturbances. Yeah. I think that part of your marriage problems is you don't have enough domestic disturbance in your house. My dad was a cop. There's cops here. I love cops. They get called out to a lot of domestic disturbances. My dad used to come home as a cop, and he'd say, "Son, this is amazing how a woman will be sitting there being beat by a man. And then we come in there, and we start beating him. And then she gets a pan and hits me in the back of the head and starts beating me. I don't understand that." It's called domestic violence, and it doesn't always make sense. But I'm telling you that there needs to be a disturbance in your life, but the disturbance is not with a person. It's with a spirit that has come against your marriage. It's a spirit of suicide. It's a spirit of mass murder. It's a spirit of opioids. It's a spirit of drug addiction. It's a spirit of alcoholism, and it's a spirit. And the only way you get rid of the spirit is not say, "Would you please leave my house? Man, I just really don't want you here. I'm going to go Joel Osteen on this right now and tell you, I'd really rather you not come back." Now, Joel, he's got security around his house. We're there a lot with him, and they have to. God love him. He's got to have armed guards, a wall around his house, and police around his house, and some crazy stuff happens to Joel. Because I can't, y'all can't see Joel coming out going, "I'm going to bust a cap in you." How many of y'all can't see that? I never like to close a broadcast without saying, "Don't come up in here. Don't come up in here." So you can't be nice to the devil. He's trying to steal your mind. You can't be nice to the devil. He's trying to tell you it's okay to make God a social acquaintance. It's not okay to say, "Well, every once in a while I go to church, and when Johnny comes to me on Sunday and he says, 'Daddy, are we going to church?'" That's jacked up. Yeah. That means that there was an option. No wonder people are coming to me saying, "This one shot that one, and this one's drug addict." Because guess what? We're visiting people in the state pen because people don't think it takes all that. I'm here to tell you today that Faith Church is now on a mission to cause a disturbance to say, "You got to go to church. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life." Come on, somebody. Who's going to help me win America back? Tell people the truth. And you might not like it, but it's true. And God's telling me it's not my presence, but it's his presence necessary in the house. Come on, praise him like you mean it. I don't want a patty cake, Tiger Woods golf clap. I want somebody to praise him. Disturbance, disturbance. Everybody shout, "I'm here to cause a disturbance." It disturbs me when there's not a disturbance. I'm disturbed, perturbed. And he kept shouting. I love it. It says, "With all his might, 'Son of David, have mercy on me. Now heal me.'" And Jesus stopped. We've seen this before. There was a woman in the crowd with an issue. Anybody know a woman with an issue? Don't point at one, but raise your hand. Some real dumb guys in here. Come on. It's not just women with issues. It's men with issues. But this woman had an issue of 12 years, a long time. But she caused such a disturbance when she pushed through the crowd and she made a scene and she touched him, and he said, "Somebody touched me." What? Something moved him. His shouting, this blind beggar, his shouting and screaming got God's attention. I'm here to tell you that God's looking for somebody to get his attention. And a long time ago, on 1416 Larkin Williams Road, when my dad was still laying in the cold room at St. Anthony's Hospital, and I lost him at 56 years old, and I was confused, but I knew I had to preach. And I went to God after a few days after preaching at his church, and I said, God, I'm bored with your church the way my dad did it. God, I don't want just the same 180 people who all marry each other and bless each other and prophesy to each other. I'm sick of our church. God, I want to go after lesbians, and I want to go after drug addicts, and I want to go after lawyers, and I want to go after bankers. And guess what? God heard me, and then the church began to grow, and we caused a disturbance that built the biggest church in St. Louis. Somebody ought to help me, because we jump off bridges. We walk on water. We get people out of wheelchairs. Not us, but him. But would your praise get his attention? Would your shout get his attention? Would it stop him in his tracks? Would he say, hey, there's a little crazy person named David Craig who doesn't have an education, lost his dad, lost his mom, lost my brothers, lost my mind, lost my marriage, but I didn't lose my shout. Somebody ought to shout amen today. Hallelujah. You got to cause a disturbance. Disturbance. He kept shouting with all his might. Reminds me of David when he danced till his clothes fell off. That's some dancing. And his wife, Michelle, came and said, you're the king of Israel, fool. Don't read the Bible. Don't do that again. And he looked at her and he said, Michelle, I have something to tell you. I can't praise his deity and keep my dignity. And just so you know, Michelle, how I got you, I got you because I was praying on the backside of the hill, and my daddy didn't even call me up when they were looking for the political candidates of the future, and they just left me out. But I was on the backside of the hill worshiping God, and my daddy didn't call me, but my father called me. And so then your dad, Psycho Saul, began to have demons on him, and when demons would come to him, I would shout and praise God, and evil spirits would go away, and every once in a while he would chuck a spear. But then it tried to kill me, but I forgave him of that. And then when the Philistine, David, came against the whole armies of God, and they were going to destroy him, and your daddy didn't jump off the bridge, and your mama wouldn't jump off the bridge, and your brother didn't, and your baby little brother, come on somebody, and your cousin and all them, and Boo-Boo and Quick-Wee, come on somebody, ain't nobody doing none of this, but I stood up on the front of that battle, and in not my might, but in the might of Jehovah, my God, I picked up one, come on somebody, stone, two stones, three stones, four stones. I picked up five stones. Thought I would need five, Michelle, but I only needed one. And when I released it out of my hand, and I remember the wind came, and I hadn't calculated to what was going to happen, and it started going the other way, and then I looked up, and then like a heat-seeking missile, it started going back, and I thought, my God, it's going to hit him, and it hit him right in the middle of the head. He fell down. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And that God makes me kind of crazy. And I'm going to get, he said this, I want to get wilder than this. She knew. And by the way, that might be why you're barren, Michelle. That might be why you never could give me a child, because you're barren. People are barren because they lack intimacy. And I'm telling you, when you get intimacy with God, you can't help but mess around and get pregnant. You will just end up pregnant with a dream, pregnant with hope, pregnant with, you know what? Someday, I'm not talking to you in the back row in the wheelchair. Someday, I'm not going to wait on the bus to take me to church. Someday, I'm going to walk my happy self down the front. Somebody ought to help me right now. She back there can't move all her body parts yet, but I believe. Come on, somebody. I believe. I said, I believe that there is a disturbance coming to our church, that we will be known as the place where people get up out of wheelchairs. Come on, give it praise. Come on, give it praise. Woo! Hallelujah. He was blind. He was a beggar. Why are we blind? Here's one of the reasons why we're blind. We're blind because we do not see with our spiritual eyes. I mean, you have eyes to see, the Bible says, but you can't see. You have ears to hear, but you cannot hear. That's why we're blind. We're blind beggars. So we're begging when God's saying, you're my child, and I want to lead you to be a water walker, but I don't want you blind. Now, the world is blind. People going into Walmart. Legislation's not the answer. You can legislate that, and crazy people still don't have guns. It'll be you that don't have guns. And it was a political statement. I'm just saying it's not guns that are the problem. They'll stab each other with pitchforks. They'll run each over. They'll run over each other with mopeds if necessary. They will do whatever they need to do because there is a divine Bible written by a God who created us, and he says people left to themselves will self-destruct because there's a hole in their soul, and when the Holy Spirit's not in there, an evil spirit comes in there and says, kill people, kill people, kill people. I'm hearing voices. That's what they all say. And of course they're hearing voices. You know, one of the reasons why they hear the wrong voice is because they're not hearing the right voice. And that's part of the reason why we as the church have a prophetic anointing on our life right now. And I'm going to bring a side of me that you haven't seen yet. Come on, somebody. But there's a whole lot of people that aren't at our church that are coming to our church because they're going to hear this and they'll go, he's buck wild crazy. I like that. People are tired of people playing church. I like lights. I like fog. I like LED. I like so much money. You can put LED screens in the church. But I'm telling you, what we need is light and power and fire from God. Somebody needs to see again. Somebody needs to hear again. Somebody needs to pray again. Somebody needs to obey again. Who's going with me on this? You can be seated. Who's blind? And he's begging. Now, here's some things I need you to know. Shouting is a spiritual thing. When the people of God were walking around the walls of Jericho, they shouted. The walls come down. They walked around the walls confessing and shouting, and then they let out a big shout by faith, and the walls came down. But there's a walk to it. And I want to talk a minute about your walk. I've got 8 minutes and 21 seconds to do that. How you walk matters. Watch where you walk. I have a friend, Tyler Perry, and we were at dinner, and Tyler was talking about his island that he owns. And we're actually talking about airplanes because he's got one that has a huge indoor theater, like a massive theater inside the Jumbo Airlines because he's Tyler Perry and he just kind of owns a lot of Hollywood now. He's bought most of it and all of it in Atlanta. Loves God, filled with the Spirit, and a good guy. And Tyler was telling me, he said, David, you know, I was having my little son on the beach because we were talking about the Exuma Bahamas, and he said, we went on the beach and my son's about this big and he was walking behind me. And I looked, and he was walking behind me, and he was walking. I'm talking about walking right now. He was walking in my footsteps. There was these big feet, but then he was stepping into, his little bitty feet were stepping into where I had stepped. And he told me the cute story. He brought him up over the side, and he says, Daddy, why is nobody on this beach? He goes, because we own this island. I'm here to tell you. How you walk matters. Where you go matters. You don't think it matters, but it does. I'm entering into a new season and a new anointing because of the way God's asked me to walk. He's asked me to live a fasted, consecrated life more than any time before. He's speaking to me about cleaning up trash. It's not mine. Cleaning up bathrooms. It's not mine. Stopping exactly when he tells me. He's got me in a training program that's absolutely ridiculous. But because of that walk that I have with him now, he's speaking to me and giving me confidence beyond anything I've ever had in my life to where I know that he hears me. Not about me. It's not about my acts of righteousness that makes me righteous. But what it does is my acts of disobedience keep me from him. And he's wanting you and you and you to say, are you still going to keep playing with this tithing thing where you rip me off? Are you still going to keep doing this thing where you come to church every third Sunday? Why don't you give me your whole life, then you will experience sight because you have eyes, but you do not see. You have ears, but you cannot hear. And that's why you could be worth billions of dollars and hang yourself in a cell
because a spirit would come on you to molest young girls. I'm talking, this thing's as current as today. And it's so current, it's out past what you know of tomorrow. I'm telling you, this God can see into the future, and he knows the decisions that you make this very weekend, if you will make it or you won't make it. And I'm not just talking about making it successful. I'm talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about, the Bible said there's the heaven to gain and the hell to shun. He said there's a Lamb's Book of Life. And you won't get there just because your mama's name's on the roll. My kids, they get some pretty cool opportunities. Ashton is quite the amazing woman, a vessel of God. She was up here singing a while ago, but sometimes she'll get an event. She was in a stadium the other day with 20,000 people, and I wasn't there. And she wanted me to go to the event, and I knew why she wanted me to go, because if I was there, she would have access. If I wasn't there, she wouldn't have access. Because I'm always invited in the back rooms, and I'm always set on the front rows, and she knows that. But when she comes and it's just her, she's just another person in the crowd. She began to text me. I'm here. Nobody knows me. Who can you text? What can you do? I mean, all that smart. And then I said, who's on the front row? And she told me, and everybody was in my phone, so I just started texting some of them. My daughter's there. Could you pull her up to the front? Could she go in the back? And within 5 minutes, those people were sending me pictures of her. She had divine access granted to her from the very back of a 20,000-seat stadium to the suite reserved seats because of my name. But let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way in heaven. Her name won't be on a list because of my name. She won't know God because of me. She'll only know God because of her own relationship with God. And I'll try to put those footsteps in the sand so she can follow and say, I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. She sees that in my private life. Having fun and laughing. Then I go, oh, there's a Dairy Queen. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw that yesterday, exhibited. But I'm here to tell you, it's normal to live a supernatural life. It is blind, and you will be a beggar if you live a life beneath the obedience of Jesus Christ and say, God, here's my heart, here's my mind, here's my eyes. If they offend you, pluck it out. And it doesn't mean that you have to pluck your eyes out, but you might have to get rid of a smartphone. You might have to get a flip phone. Because in a day and a time, you had to pay for pornography and water was free. Now pornography is free and we're paying for water. We need to know the seasons and the times in which we live in. And I'm here to tell you that the devil wants to keep you back. But if I've got any faith in me at all, I want to stir that on the inside of you to tell you it's not business as normal and usual that we're going to have 16 months of heaven on earth starting in the month of September in 2020. It is up to you. But if you will operate in this spirit that I'm talking about right now, you will experience the supernatural outpouring and flow of God in your money, in your mind, in your marriage, in your ministry, and everything that your hand touches turns to good, because there's a supernatural flow in the Jubilee year of 2020. Jubilee means all debts are canceled. Every person in prison is coming out, and all property goes back to its original owner. That's what it means. Jesus is our Jubilee. As I wrap this up, there's a couple things that I need to tell you about revival. We're in it. What I'm preaching is revival. I'm setting all of us up for random revivals that will hit our church. As in, I'll tell you, if you follow me on social media, I'll go, hey, Thursday night, meet me in Earth City. God's going to move. And the woman in the wheelchair better be there. It's flat floor all the way around. Great place for miracles. We'll go there and we'll see wheelchairs pop out like we did last time. We'll see people ripping feeding tubes out like last time. We will see people that couldn't walk, walk. People that couldn't hear, hear. It was miraculous. But the Lord said to me that was only 10% of the outpouring. He didn't tell me what's going to happen next time. Maybe it'll be 11%. Maybe it'll be 50% more. I don't know. But I know I want to be right in the middle. I don't want to be off to the sidelines as a blind beggar. And if I am on the sidelines right now, I want to yell to the top of my voice every time I'm tempted to go back to that old way and say, no, no, no. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to throw my phone away if necessary. Come on, somebody. All those people I used to call, I'm not going to call. All those places I used to go, help me right now. Somebody help me. Kids are dying. People are getting shot. This is real. I said, this is real. And we can pause politically for a moment of silence, and that's sweet, and that's cute. Let's all pause for a moment of silence. God didn't say nothing about a silent prayer. He said, lift up your voice with a shout and begin to shout. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus over the United States of America. In God we trust. Somebody help me right now. I declare the blood of Jesus from the top of the nation to the bottom of the nation, from the north to south, the east and the west. And I decree and declare that there's a revival shooting up out of St. Louis. And people will move here to this state to help us push this through. I'm not playing. He said, how'd you jump off that bridge? Papa, how'd you just jump off? I said, it's the same thing I did when I signed myself to $6.5 million. It's the same thing I did when we bought this $37 million complex. Same thing I did when this last week they asked me for $300,000 approval for the equipment that we need. And I don't have it approved. How are you going to get it? Right here, because I'm not a blind beggar. I say, God, I know that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. And you're Jehovah Jireh. You're more than enough. And I speak to the people that aren't tithing, God, that they'll start tithing. I speak to the people that are holding back to say, I got this money. I need to invest in this right now. And God, I thank you that our finances are increasing. If you got it, bring up in a fish. If we got to flood the property with fish and one, you know, it floods out here. We could go down there and one of the fish could have enough gold to buy all the gear that we needed. Yeah. I'm almost done. We're 1 minute and 5 seconds over, but that's okay. Here's what I need to tell you. Keep shouting. Keep screaming. Keep dancing. Keep believing. Keep declaring. Keep praying. Keep prophesying. When I open this Bible, by the way, this is a Passion Bible. I had them order 20. They only have 20, but they're out in the hallway today. I bought this Passion Bible. It's so much fun. That's what I'm preaching from right now. It's really cool. But on this Passion Bible, I put 2020 sticker and a prophesied sticker. And when I'm reading my Bible, I go, oh yeah, I'm supposed to prophesy over 2020. God, I decree and declare right now that our church is blessed and highly favored. I declare that every business and opportunity that's supposed to be put upon our church members is coming out of them. I think that the funding that they need, that the financing they need is coming to them. I decree and declare right now that no weapon formed against them, including them, will prosper. I prophesy that over them. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that our church is a blessed church, a giving church, a tithing church, a serving church, a praying church, a holy church, a righteous church, a Holy Ghost filled church. I decree and declare right now that these are their barriers. I decree and declare right now that all the staff that I need is coming to me, and the people that are chasing money, they're gone, and the people that are chasing God, they're here in the name of Jesus. And then that's what I do. And then somebody sent me a real cool pair of tennis shoes. If you see me on Preachers and Sneakers, I hit it a lot, not because I buy them, but people give them to me, so don't judge me. I wear some cool sneakers, but they're gifts. But usually when they come to me, they have, it says GOAT. What's it stand for, Ree? Greatest of all time. Didn't even know, but I thought it was cool. So I just put GOAT on there. It's for a tennis shoe, but I like it. Greatest of all times. Jesus, Holy Ghost, greatest of all times. Banner here, greatest of all times. Jubilee, greatest of all times. Look at your neighbor and say, you look like a goat. I'm almost done. It's very important that you hear this as I close. God showed me a vision about 2 weeks ago. He said, I'm taking the church into a new dimension. How many of y'all can feel a new anointing? A different level. Okay, he told me that. For those of you who don't know, I was working out. When I was working out, I was worshiping God, and I started crying too much in the gym. I would look like I lost my mind. So I went in the bathroom. I kneeled down in the bathroom right there at the sink, turned on the sink, and the Lord said, put your hands in the sink, and he baptized my hand. He said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, I'm baptizing your hands. Then he said, I want you for the rest of the year to delete all secular music off of your playlist. And I thought in my mind, although he knows everything, I thought, oh, okay, I just won't listen to it, but I'm not going to delete it because I got all my songs, and it took a long time to build these. And the Lord said, are you seriously going to do this to me right now after everything I've done for you? And it was a very emotional moment, not like right now, but I'm bawling my eyes out. So I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. I just started deleting, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that I had to delete a lot of stuff, and I was left with very little. And I left with the obedience and the power and the fire of God. And at that same time, I saw two plates. One plate was way smaller than this one. Maybe tomorrow I could get a little bitty appetizer plate. This is not an appetizer plate, or if it is, it's for people that are eating way too much appetizer. It's a little bitty plate. God said, what people are doing is they're giving me that plate, little bitty plate, and they put a little bitty something on there, and that's called, I go to church every once in a while, I pray every once in a while. But the big plate, which should be a big piece of steak on it called the Word, the church, and priorities, on the big plate, they've got Netflix, they've got all their music, and I'm not against all this stuff, but he said they're living on junk food, and it's killing them. And he said the church at large in America is full of junk food, and the big food plate, the major full plate, which should have the greens on it, should have the meat on it, should have the stuff that is good to build your body, instead it's full of this. And then we give God this little bitty appetizer plate and say, well, I'll come as long as I don't have something else that I need to do. And that's why you're sick. That's why spiritually you can't walk. You're emaciated. You have spiritual diabetes. Your sugar's off. Your glycemic index is messed up. Your arteries are completely clogged. Because we're giving God this little bitty appetizer plate, and this huge plate is full of junk food. And God's saying, hey, do you want to maximize your life? Do you want your body to change? Do you want your mind to change? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you done with, you know, one foot in and one foot out? Do you want to see not only the power of God, but God show up in your business, in your life? I'm ready to go down the street and pray for people. Yeah. And they get healed right there. Yeah. And let me tell you, he can do it. And let me tell you something more. Would you believe him? And I don't care if you do or not. I just heard him, because while I'm preaching, he's talking to me. He's telling me stuff. And he just told me when I said, do you believe he could do it? He just told me, he said, would you believe me if I told you I really want to do it? He really wants to do it? Yeah. Not so you can get the glory. Not so you can make up a story. Like some of these preachers, I see them. Yeah, I was here on this plane and people got scared and everybody on the plane got saved. I want to see the video. Prayed for this woman. She got miraculously healed. She had no hand and she grew a hand back. I want to see the video. If you have a smartphone, record it. Because I'm not buying what you're selling. Because most of the time that's even bragging on you instead of bragging on Jesus. We don't have to brag on the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow you everywhere you go. And your friends will say, you won't believe this. We were at the mall and I recorded this. As soon as he walked by and the shadow hit that woman, she said, ah! And a demon left her and she could see again. It was the craziest thing in the world. That's crazy. It happened to Paul. And it could happen again. So if you're going with me, thank you, lady. I want you to remember this as a word from God. This is not a sermon. This is part of the marching orders for where we're going. This is what you have to do to have the body you want, the minds you want, the marriage you want, the ministry you want. Everybody wants to do better tomorrow. And you probably would if you start today.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.